Yes, Joshua 1:1-9. Huh? Chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 9. Maybe one will pick up 1 to 4, another one 5 to 9. Thank you, Orson. This was God's message to Joshua. And this will also be the message God wants to speak to you. This is the beginning of a new semester for many of you who are going to school. And definitely a new beginning for me and some of you who just moved to Baton Rouge. And I want to ask you a question before we start new challenges in our lives. How many of us do carry the insecurities even from childhood into adult life? Some people might look like they are doing well, but in actuality, they might still be under the shadow of their past failures, insecurities. How can you move on when you're still under the shadow of your past insecurities and failures? And how many of us are feeling insecure, and you'll feel good only if you do well in school in the new semester? And your life will be shattered. That will feel like the end of the earth if you don't do well in school this semester or at work. We often define our identity, our importance or significance by other people's feedback to us. You're doing well, Kevin. You're good, you know? And you feel good about it. And you have self-confidence. What if in a class you don't do so well? What if in a sport that you're competing, you don't do so well this semester? Would you feel worse about yourself? So we often build our security on things outside of us, other people's comments, things that we do. And how many of us are feeling insecure now because Minister Pan just left, Freddie left, Aaron left, and I know Elder Shaw and Elder Shi, they are also going to leave CCCBR soon. And there are many other great leaders who are also leaving. Don't you feel insecure? What I'm going to do with so many things they have been doing, am I good enough to do these things they have been doing so well? I was shocked when I came here. Initially, Elder Shaw was here. I only knew that Elder Shi would leave, maybe next year. And then I heard that Elder Shaw is also leaving. And he was doing a lot of things for the English ministry. And then I heard that Freddie was leaving for seminary. That's good, he'll be equipped to serve the North. But he was involved in so many things in the English ministry. So who are going to do what he was doing? And some other leaders like Aaron also left. I know some of us are also planning to leave Baton Rouge. I was shocked, and I'm sure many of you who have been serving will feel insecure at this moment of the English ministry. I can relate to all that, all those insecurities. When I was a child, when I was a teenager, I didn't feel secure about myself. I was a chubby little kid, and I could not communicate well, even in my first language, Mandarin. Not to mention, I had to go to Hong Kong when I was 12 years old. I had to speak another dialect, Chinese dialect, the Cantonese, and I couldn't quite speak that. I would be trembling when I had to speak in public. That's why, when I was about only 15 years old, I fell secretly in love with a girl that I met in Guangzhou during a summer vacation, but I never dared to tell her that I liked her or I loved her, because I was so insecure about myself. What if she says, no, I don't like you, I don't want to, you know, date you? What would happen? I would feel like that's the end of the world. I could not handle rejection at that time. I was so insecure about myself. And yet, I was trying to study hard in school. I did well in school academically, and yet inside of me, it was an insecure little kid. Until 7 years after I secretly fallen in love with that girl, finally when I was in college, I wrote a letter when I was in the United States, and she was in China, mainland China, expressing my love for her. Okay? So that was me. I had a lot of insecurities. Some of you might also be struggling with similar things like this. Of course, I was trying to prove that I was secure by doing well academically. And yet, inside of me, I was never feeling secure. So how can we get out of the shadow of our insecurities and grasp God's promises for us and live out God's awesome promises for us today? That's what we'll look at today. We'll look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. But today we'll only focus on verse 1 to verse 2. And verse 3 to verse 9 we'll cover next time. First, the first part, verse 1 to verse 2, it tells us God's commission to Joshua. Joshua will be a great general later. But at this point of his life, he was not feeling very secure about himself. We'll learn how we can live our life by forgetting what happened in our past failures, and try to grasp God's awesome promises for us that we will cover next time from verse 3 to verse 9. Some are unconditional promises. Some are promises that lead us to do something, and then we'll get that awesome promise. Have you ever wondered why was Joshua chosen as the one to bring the Israelites into the promised land? Even Moses, the greatest leader, could not go into the promised land, the land that God promised the Israelites to have. In what way is Joshua better than Moses? I did a character study of Joshua, about Joshua's life. We noticed that Joshua first appeared in the Bible in Exodus chapter 17, and then we noticed that he became a minister of Moses in Exodus. And then he became one of the spies in Numbers, the 12 spies sent by the Israelites to go to spy out the promised land, see if this is the land indeed promised by God. And yet, 10 of the 12 spies came back scared to death. They saw those big, huge warriors in Canaan. Probably everyone is like Yao Ming, probably as big and tall as Yao Ming, and they are fierce. They have good weapons. They said, we are just like grasshoppers before our great enemies. No, this is not the promised land. We are not going in. Only Joshua and Caleb, they said, we have God on our side. What do we have to scare of? You know, what do we have to be afraid of? God is greater than any of our enemies. So that's where we started to know Joshua more in the Bible. From the Bible, we learned that Joshua had always been the military leader. He was already a leader in Israel. This has led some to believe that even before Exodus, although we first saw Exodus, Joshua in Exodus, but we believe that Joshua was already an Egyptian army officer before that, according to a historian, Josephus. And second, we saw Joshua as the minister of Moses. He was in a very important supportive role for Moses. He was always with Moses. Even God was given his words to Moses, Moses would tag along Joshua. He was his closest assistant. And three, as I just mentioned, Joshua was one of the two spies who gave a minority report while everybody said, we should not go, we're going to be killed. But Joshua was courageous. He trusted God, and he trusted God's protection against even a fierce army. He was outspoken. He dared to give a minority report based on his trust in the Lord, even though he was risking his life. Because other people said, are you trying to kill us? People were trying to stone them because they were giving a minority report that might cause the destruction of the Israelites, they thought, those people who did not trust in the Lord's presence. And yet Joshua dared to say it because he knew God was with them. According to the Bible, in Numbers, it also says that Joshua followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That's what makes Joshua different. And that's why God chose Joshua. Although, I think Joshua he himself was not so certain that he could replace Moses and even do greater things than what Moses did to bring God's people into the promised land. Why? Because he felt insecure about himself. Moses was the greatest leader. It's like Elder Jah, Elder Shi. And then we have Minister Pang. Freddie also left us. All these add together is like one big Moses, okay? And yet, they have left us. Joshua didn't feel secure. He was just an assistant to Moses. In some way, it's like a servant serving Moses. How could he do what Moses was doing? Such a great leader, probably the greatest leader in the whole world. Besides, he was almost stoned to death by his own people. Have you ever been treated very hostily by your own church friends? Initially, you are friends, and suddenly they turned against you because you have said something that they don't like, although that might not be wrong. Maybe by your family members. They have turned against you. Maybe by your schoolmates. And then you feel, I'm rejected. I'm a failure. I believe Joshua was under that shadow when he was almost stoned to death because he trusted God. He was willing to give a report that nobody liked to listen to. That's why Joshua was not very certain. What Joshua needed to hear is God saying, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is already dead. He has already left. Do you know that for years I have been preparing you just for this moment? I saw great promise in you. I saw great promise in you. Quit comparing yourself. Live in the future. Live in the present. Don't live in the past. Don't live under your past insecurities, failures, and they have stopped to grow. I believe this is also what God is saying to us. I believe God is looking at each one of us directly at our eyes and saying, Calvin, you have got great promise. Do you know that? In God's eyes, you have great promise. And Alan, do you also know that? In God's eyes, you have great promise. Michelle, Rebecca, everyone, Philip, and Jason, and I see Jim or James. And everyone here, in God's eyes, you have great promise. And God has been preparing for each of you just for today. Even when the great leaders of the church have left. But think about how God has prepared you when Minister Pan was here. How he taught you. And this is the time for you to get out of your insecurities and come back out to serve God. But we often just shift our eyes away. We don't want to look at God. And we say to ourselves, God doesn't really know me. God doesn't know the bad things I have done, the wrong things that I have done in my past. How would God choose me? I'm not as good as Minister Pang or Freddie, the great leaders in the church, Aaron, Elder Xia, Elder Xi. How can I do even part of what they are doing? It's impossible. I don't really have what it takes to do the job. We go on comparing ourselves with the great leaders, with others, and even with ourselves, our past failures, and say that we cannot do it. But again, God tells us that we can do it, not by relying on our own power, but by relying on God's power. How can we live a life of promise? Live out the awesome promises God has given us in our lives, even if we don't feel secure, even if we failed in the past, even if there was a performance I was supposed to do well and yet I messed up. Does it mean that I will no longer perform? No. If I do it for God, I will never fail. If I do it by God's power, I will never fail. We need to live our life with our backs to the past, our past failures. How can we live our life with our back to the past, our past failures, our insecurities, or our reliance on someone, a great leader who has already left? We need to remember so that we can forget. Yes, we need to first remember, and then we can forget. What should we remember and what should we forget? We should remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings. They were nailed to the cross. Our sins, our shortcomings in the past, present, and in the future. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection is enough for all of our sins in the past, now, and in the future. If you're feeling insecure because you're not perfect, that's okay. That's why you need Jesus. When you first became a Christian, you realize that as a sinner, if you don't trust in Jesus as your personal Savior, you'll be eternally separate from God in hell. Now you're a Christian. Do you think you can just rely on yourself and live your Christian life and be someone that would be pleasing to God? No, you cannot. You have to still rely on Jesus. By remembering in this way, that will help us to forget our insecurities, our failures, because God would help us, even when we are not feeling secure. But God is our ultimate source of security. The turning point in my life is when I finally decided to become a Christian. At the lowest point of my life, although I started a relationship with that girl long distance, just writing letters every week, okay? One in mainland China, one in the United States. And yet, that relationship could not last. But that was like what I was pursuing. The only thing that I felt was meaningful in my life. I thought, I'm going to study well in Berkeley so that I can get a good job, so that I can build a very happy family with this girl. Everything was focused on that relationship. And yet, when she said, sorry, how can I know that you will not change your heart? You know, later, after you have got a better job, you might meet someone better. And then I will be wasting my time waiting for you in mainland China. Okay? And when girls get to around 30 years old, they start worrying, you know, if they are not in a meaningful relationship. But that was my everything. And I was shattered when she said, no, I'm not. Let's discontinue this relationship. Let's end it. I thought about even committing suicide in my mind many times. But how could I do that? If I did that, I would hurt my mom so badly, because she loved me so much. She was my support when I was studying in the United States. I got straight A's and I transferred to Berkeley. I tried to do everything well, not only for that girl, but also to make my mom happy, because at the lowest point of my life, my mom was there. She was standing there for me, and she is still praying for me every day now, 4 times a day. I couldn't do that, but I had no more motivation to live on my life. Until I found out that in this world, you might find someone you think will love you and will never desert you. And yet, human love is not very lasting. It can change. When I have lost all the human love that I could get, and then I realized that God still loves me, even when the whole world doesn't love me. That's the point. I just kneel down, I pray to God, help me, I'm desperate. I can no longer help myself. Even with all the training in a good business school, I could not help myself to focus back onto my studies. I skipped class for almost 1/3 of the semester. I didn't go to class for 1/3 of the semester. Can you imagine that? But finally, I realized that it's time to have midterm and final exam. What am I going to do? I have no motivation, so I just pray to God, help me, God. From that point on, I got a sense of peace in my heart and a sense of strength. That same night I prayed to God, I could just sit down and then study for my exams. I started going back to school, and most importantly, I started going to church, where I met my Savior, Jesus Christ. I realized that I could be sure that I was going to heaven by just trusting in Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. And I was willing to commit my life to follow Jesus Christ as one of his disciples by being baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That's what Calvin and Annan will do. This will be a very meaningful day for you. It's this day that changed my life and brought the many blessings in my life. Finally, I was able to focus on my studies, and actually I studied well by just relying on the Lord. I was able to focus. I finished my training in Berkeley, and it was before the graduation. My parents went to visit me, and then this was my landlord. Behind this fence was the little apartment. I thought about committing suicide many times, and I had a chance to share with my landlord the gospel, and he was willing to trust the Lord, to trust Jesus Christ as his personal Savior too. He's a Russian. And although I thought I would never be able to love again, and yet, after I have started going to church, I learned the real meaning of relationship. It is a good thing to have a wife, to have a helper, to help me so that we can all follow God together, to live out the promises in the Bible for me and to bless other people. Can let other people know about how God our God is, how good our God is. And I think my wife saw my passion for God and also for just people in general. So she fell in love with me while I fell in love with her. So, and then that's why on my wedding day I was crying, I was in tears. Usually it would be the bride who would be in tears, but I was the groom who was in tears. Maybe one among a million. but I was so touched by God's love for me. How could that be? No, I don't deserve all these. And yet, God is so good. When we are willing to commit our lives to follow Him, and that's why we get baptized. And then finally, we also had a chance to go to Dallas Theological Seminary to be trained how to also help other people with God's Word. If by God's grace, 5 years later, today, I'm here actually serving God with the training I've received from Dallas Theological Seminary. It was not by my own power, it was by God's grace. Because if you want to taste what seminary life is, go to Dallas Theological Seminary and you'll see it's impossible to finish it by your own power. There's so much schoolwork, so many papers to write, so many quizzes, Greek and Hebrew. But by God's grace, I was able to finish that. When we first went to Dallas, it was just my wife and myself. But when I graduated, at the point of my graduation, I had so many other Chinese students as my friends. That's on the day of my graduation. That's my wife, Nina. And I had a chance to serve with many godly men in the church in Dallas. We have a men's ministry, a ministry for just guys, okay? So we can have guys talk, okay? And then we enjoy the time to serve the Lord together, and I enjoy the time I serve them. And also, in the picture, the very kind man, this is my mentor when I was in my internship for my theological training. He's a great pastor. He taught me how to be a shepherd, seeking after God's heart. And yet when I come to Dallas, I have to leave all of them, all my friends, including a great leader I look up to, my pastor. Probably it's like when Moses died and Joshua was by himself, facing great challenges to conquer the promised land. It's like coming here now, being able to teach you, to share God's word with you, and yet I can foresee there are many challenges, especially when many leaders have left, and many are thinking about leaving. But God's grace is always abundant. By looking back at these photos, these are the people I minister to. They're young professionals. Some of them have PhD degrees. Some of them are pharmacists. Some of them are engineers. And this lady is actually a vice president of a company. And they were willing to learn from God's word and let me serve them. I will miss them. We not only should remember God's grace for our lives so that we can forget about our own insecurities, our own shortcomings, but we're also urged to forget our past successes. If you look at your past successes and you feel proud, then you stop growing. You stop learning from God's word. If you think you're good, I'm good enough, I'm actually better than that person in the room, then you become proud. You stop growing. Your heart will be removed from God's heart. So we not only should forget about our past failures, but also forget about past successes. If you have to remember anything from your past successes, it's that it's all by God's grace. We need to live a life with our back to the past. That's the past, the insecure past. We also need to forget our past, the successes. The great leaders that I learned from, now they have all left me because I have left them. I'm here by myself and my wife. But I believe God again will give me friends that I had in Dallas, because you will all be my brothers and sisters, and you'll all be my friends. It takes time, but I'm sure with love among us, we will become closest of friends. If I have to forget anything in the past, I will not forget about the day I committed to follow Christ when I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what you will witness later when you see Calvin and Alan being baptized. So let's live out God's awesome promises for us today, and don't say, no, to God. If God has called us to serve in the English ministry in the future, there are many needs in the English ministry. God has put in my heart to develop future leaders, future Bible study leaders, future Sunday school teachers, future ushers and welcomers for new friends. When our new friends come here, they want to experience God's love through you. Are you willing to welcome them warmly? We also need worship team, worship leaders. There are many things that we can do for God by God's grace. Are you willing to answer God's calling in your life? God might not directly call you, but I will call you. Okay? So, let's pray and ask God to help us to indeed be able to live out His awesome promises. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that although our past was not perfect, that's why we needed You. We were sinners. We are still sinners. We'll still be sinners later. But God's grace, through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection on the cross, is enough. And we can feel secure about ourselves because we have Jesus. Because we can still rely on Jesus' power and grace to live our daily life this new semester. At the point of our church where there are great needs, may You work in our hearts, give us strength, and give us courage to serve You because we love You. May You also bless Calvin, Alan, who will be baptized in Your name. Let them be great witness for You. And let them, although at a young age, be an encouragement to those who are older. My prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.